Dietary Guidelines and Use of Nutrition Fact Labels Among Young Adults in the United States. And Catherine Woodyard is a PhD candidate in the Health Behavior and Promotion Program at the University of Mississippi. Her research interests include physical activity promotion and adherence, the built environment, and the influence of policy in the prevention of obesity. She is currently an instructor and research associate at the University of Mississippi.
Hi, thank you for being here today. I'm going to present on fitting, I guess, from the first couple of presentations, the use of nutrition fact labeling and ingredients list serving sizes that are posted on the nutrition label amongst young adults. And I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. So with the increasing prevalence of obesity in the United States, there's been a concern about how we make our food choices and the type of food that we eat as individuals. And so it's become important to think about how we make our decisions about what we eat and also look at the factors that contribute to obesity. Some of those include sedentary lifestyle, lack of physical activity, and then lack of healthy weight management skills. And those skills include things like not knowing about nutrition labeling or not having an understanding of the dietary guidelines, also not using nutrition labels, and having excess caloric intake or eating portion sizes that are much larger than what we actually need. So in 1990, predating the mandatory menu labeling for caloric intake and nutrition information, was the law that mandated that the FDA require a nutrition label on most all food products that are on the market, processed food, packaged foods, and really the only exceptions were fruits and vegetables or foods that were like breads and things made from individual marketers. So theoretically, if we label food and we give people information about what's in their food, then this would lead to healthier food choices. And so the published literature, there's little literature that exists that actually examines the use and knowledge of dietary guidelines and label or nutrition labels in this country. And further, the literature that is out there, there's not a lot of consistency in demographic factors that positively predict label use, other than that being female and being concerned about your health or having placing a higher importance on health. And so that's what led me to, well, let's look at this a little bit further. So another part of this is how our body weight perception influences our weight choice. And so we've had the traditional problem in this country of thin people feeling as though they're overweight, your eating disordered patients or those that have anorexic tendencies, is not the only problem that we're seeing now. We're also beginning to see this problem of people who are overweight not perceiving that they are actually overweight or even obese. And so this is our traditional problem of someone thin looking into the mirror and seeing that they are actually bigger than they are. This would be termed an over-assessor. In a second, I'm going to show you some analysis of the percentage of our population that's in, over-assessor. And so this person is actually a healthy weight or even underweight who perceives themselves to be overweight. That's one extreme. The other extreme we now see is people who are overweight and obese look into the mirror and they see someone who is thin. And so this is what I've termed over-assessor. So someone who has a BMI either that's overweight who would say that they feel that they are normal weight, or even someone who's obese who reports that they are a normal weight or even underweight. So this failure to recognize yourself as overweight when you actually are has implications, because when we try to give health messages or program planning about the importance of making healthy choices and the risk or the association between what we eat and our risk for chronic disease, these individuals don't perceive that we're talking to them, and they're not hearing what we're saying when we talk about the importance of utilizing that information to make healthier choices. So it's important to correct these misperceptions in order for them to be more educated about it. So my analysis is based on the NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, for individuals 16 to 29. I chose this population, one, because of the lack of information about this age group out there. Secondly, because This group was between the ages of 1 and 15 when the labeling became mandatory. So for the better part of their lives, and especially their adult lives, if not their entire life, these individuals have had the food label on their food items. Also, currently, this age group is less obese than their adult counterparts. Right now, we know that over 30% of our adults are obese, over 30% are overweight, leaving less than a third at a healthy body weight. But in this specific population, 43% cumulatively are either obese or overweight. So it's a little less compared to the over 60% in the adults. So if we can intervene now, teach how to use labels, then theoretically this would lead to prevention of obesity at later stages of life. So my purpose is to determine the percentage of young adults in this age group that possess knowledge of the dietary guidelines and then utilize the nutrition label on the food items. And also to determine whether difference, whether knowledge and behavior differ according to gender and perception of weight status. And again, this is my research question. What percentage possess that knowledge, and does that knowledge and behavior differ according to sex and perception of weight? So what you can see, my and this data is weighted to reflect the entire U.S. population. So although my sample size is 2,000, because it's weighted in a way that it reflects the entire population. So it can be generalized to reflect the whole U.S. population in this age group. More of my sample was female, and also if an interesting finding is that we're really beginning to get even percentages within our Mexican-American, non-white, Hispanic white, and Hispanic black, and then other mix of 8% of this sample. Alarmingly, 70%, almost 70% of these individuals have not heard of the dietary guidelines, which is, I was really shocked to see that finding. And so is it a function of, I think the education, there's a gap in us educating individuals about dietary guidelines. Now, we have a little more encouraging results with the food pyramid. Most have heard of the food pyramid, 86.3%, which is now the My Food Plate. This was analyzed from the 2005-2006 data, so this was still when the food pyramid was being used. And then heard of five-a-day program, a little over half have not heard of that either. And then with use here, we see, I grouped the responses into use never or never seen, use sometimes or rarely, or use most of the time or always. So you can see in most all of these categories for use of nutrition facts, use of ingredients list, and use of serving size information that almost half of the population has never used or never seen this label. Now, with the exception of that 20% use nutrition fact labels most of the time or always, less than 15% of this population is utilizing the label. So it goes back to theoretically this idea that the label being there would help us to make healthier choices, but when it's not being utilized, it's not going to come out with the results that we would want to see there. I keep using the wrong clicker. the BMI, the weight history, what I did here was looked at where we stand in terms of our demographic makeup of this age group with how healthy we are in weight. And so you can see that here, cumulatively 43.7% of young adults are either overweight or obese. And there's also a question on the NHANES survey that says, have you tried to lose weight in the last year? And of the respondents that answered that, 31.2% responded that they had tried to. However, 43.7% are in the overweight and obese category already. And some of that percentage was even made up of normal weight people in the normal weight category who said they would actually like to lose weight. So we see there's a lot of people in the overweight and obese category that need to lose weight who have not even made that attempt to do so in the last year. So this is a little bit confusing, but if you look across the black, that's the total. So 58 of those who've heard the dietary guidelines, 58% are female and 41% are male. And of males, 57% have not heard and 42 have. So we see there's a trend here that females are more likely to have heard of the dietary guidelines. And this trend is the same down here. You can see 54% of females have heard, 45% of males have. And then when you look here, 63% have not, 36% have. And then same thing, most males have heard where only 25% have not heard of the food pyramid. So that. And then for this one, with used most of the time or always, you see a similar trend here that of those who use most of the time or always, 65% are female. So we really have a problem with the male population, especially not utilizing the nutrition fact label. And then if you come down here, same thing, that females are much more likely to use serving size information. But this is one that really is alarming because of the used never and never seen, 63% of males never look at the serving size information. And so, again, there's a need to educate about the importance of utilizing that to know how much we're supposed to be eating. And so this is a really interesting finding as well. I ran a cross-tabulation of perception of weight status. So there was a question that said, how do you perceive your weight, normal weight, underweight, or overweight? So if someone was normal weight and they said that they thought they were overweight, they're an under-assessor or perceived lower. So 26% of men don't perceive themselves to be overweight or obese when they actually are. And this, although the data is not here, the Hispanic and African American men are much more likely to be under assessors of their weight status. I even had several people in the obese category that perceive themselves as a normal weight. A good finding is that the majority of this sample are correct perceptors of their weight. But interestingly, only 2.6% of females perceive that they are higher than they are. I mean, yes. So 2.6% of males perceive they're higher. So that means that only a very small percentage of men thought that they were fat when they actually weren't. If that's more of a female problem. And so you can see 15% of females thought they were overweight when they actually weren't. And then the 7.6%, similar to the males, the majority of that was Hispanic and African American individuals. So this is the trend here is that if you perceive you're lower, so you're overweight and you don't think you are, you think you're a normal weight, you're much less likely to use the label than those who are perceiving they're higher. So this finding to me indicates, and these trend all the way across, so if you use most of the time or always, you likely perceive you're higher. So it seems as though this information is being utilized as a way to monitor caloric intake and not being and manage weight, not so much as a way to look at the ingredients list or serving size and see and use it as a way to eat healthier options. And so, and then similarly, you see the same thing here with use of serving size information. So if you perceive you're higher, you're more likely to use serving size information. And if you perceive you're lower, half of those have never seen or never utilized serving size information. So again, it goes back to the importance of educating about, correcting misperceptions about weight, because we want these individuals to hear what we're saying when it comes to making healthier food choices, and then B, increase the overall prevalence of use amongst everyone. And so what we found, again, about the dietary guidelines, almost 70% have not heard of them. The food pyramid, smaller percentages have not heard, only 13.7%. With use, as I mentioned earlier, less than 15% use most of the time or always, with the exception of the 20% with the nutrition fact label. And then almost half in each of those categories are not using. So it goes back to we want individuals to make healthier food choices, but we also want them to be educated about the importance of use, because with the menu labeling now being mandatory, we want that information to be used and used in a way that we can make healthier choices about what we're eating. So females are significantly more likely to have heard of the dietary guidelines and the nutrition label and serving size or five-a-day program than males. They're also more likely to utilize that information. And the individuals who perceive themselves as heavier than they are also more likely to use that information than those who underperceive their weight. And so, and this is just some more of the findings here, but it's the finding that females are more significant or are significantly more likely to utilize this information is similar to the findings from Dracotis and colleagues in 2006. But still alarming that over half of this population has not used or never seen the nutrition label. And with the perception of body weight, It's really important that we begin to educate people about their weight status so that they can make healthier food choices and understand that they are, in fact, at risk for chronic disease associated with obesity. And the two most significant contributing factors to that are our activity levels, so being sedentary or physically active, and then what we're eating and how many calories we consume. And a lot of individuals seem to be, there seems to be a huge lack of education about how much we need to eat, and then also what size portions we're supposed to use. If nutrition labeling, we theoretically, as I mentioned at the beginning, was mandated as a way to help individuals make healthy food choices. But if people aren't using it, then it's not being used, the purpose of it isn't happening. And so there needs to be more education in the schools, really, I think, from a very young age about what a nutrition label is, how to read it. And I teach a college health class in the summer, and it never ceases to amaze me, even amongst that population, not understanding how to read a nutrition label or portion size or things of that nature. So there needs to be programming and education about it. And likely if this happens, if people begin to use the label, then we'll consume proper serving sizes, not eat in excess and overconsume. Also, we'll make healthier food choices when it comes to the type of foods that we're eating.
Questions for Catherine?
So I work a lot with physicians and doing clinical practice, but I think that your first premise was, so if people don't, they're not going to hear the message if they don't really understand weight. So teaching about still how to read a label, we haven't figured out, so what's that intervention? Because you can't every time you go to your doctor, you say, you know what, you're fat. It's not during the motivational interview, and really, it doesn't come into play there when you keep telling everyone, what do you think you are? Well, no, you're fat. Now let's move on. So, I think that the discussion, I think that's sort of the next area, that who are the people, who are the influencers that can help this generation sort of measure, what's unhealthy weight, which is the term we prefer.
Right.
So all the nutrition labeling,
right, and I think ultimately, regardless of your weight status, like even people at a healthy weight need to become better consumers of food in terms of sodium, saturated fat, unsaturated fat, and not even just those who are overweight. But you're right, and we do see that most physicians don't talk to the only significant predictor of physicians talking to their patients about weight is BMI being over 30. So there's no prevention between as your weight starts to creep up over the years. It's, oh, now you're obese, let me talk to you about it now. So that's, you're right, a big problem that needs to be addressed as well.
Any other questions for Catherine? We had one question for Dr. Haney, but we'll get one more question here and then...
The BMI, actually, they give you their height and weight, and then I calculated the BMI. So... Yeah, and you're right. And I looked a little bit at the trend with are you physically active, and in seeing that with the males, and there wasn't significance there, so it didn't seem as I've got a bunch of muscle people. And you're right, there's that likelihood of that window, but I was seeing, and I don't have the data in here, but I mean, people that were into the obese category, 30, 31, 32, still perceiving their healthy weight. So even if that's a little bit off, maybe they're like 25, 26 and just overweight, and that was especially true amongst Hispanic men. So. Mm-hmm, right. And I'd like to do this again and actually collect data on body fat percent, maybe using DEXA or something like really to make it stronger, because BMI, there's a lot of limitations there. But, thank you.